Shalom, everyone. So the goal of this shiur is to delve into the halacha, the lamdas, and the machshava of Hadlakas Neiros. Because very often, you delve into fascinating topics in Torah, and you approach it from one perspective. So you talk about halacha, you do lamdas and gemar v'yin, or you do machshava. But the goal of this shiur is to really build layers of understanding of a profound aspect of Torah, a profound mitzvah, which is, I would say, not often fully grasped and understood, especially by men in terms of their connection to this mitzvah, which we're going to obviously talk about. And women also, it's such a profoundly deep, deep mitzvah. So let's open it up. Let's open it up with some basic questions, which number one, it starts off with the way you approach every single mitzvah, which is what's the purpose of this mitzvah? And the second question, as I hinted to just a couple seconds ago, is the basic question of whether or not the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros, the mitzvah of lighting candles Friday night, is a mitzvah that only applies to women, because women do it. And yet, there is this thread in many, many different makoros, many different sources, that clearly shows men's unique connection to this mitzvah as well. And the third question is, how is the mitzvah done? Now, we're not going to delve into everything, because there are so many questions and details and specific applications where things come up, but I want to delve into some of the most important aspects of the sugya. And the best place to start is to ask the question of what is the nature of this mitzvah? So, you know, every single week comes to Shabbos, you light candles. And when it comes to lighting candles, you want to say, what's the kavana of this mitzvah? What am I intending to do? What is the purpose of this mitzvah? And it's one of these things where there actually seems to be different approaches. So on the very basic level, there seems to be the concept of kavod Shabbos, of giving honor, giving sanctity, giving this higher level of awareness of the beauty and grandeur and awesomeness of Shabbos. And we light candles to do that. And it's basically very much tied down into the Rambam, where the Rambam says explicitly, and then he continues and says, the whole purpose is to call ilu the kavod Shabbos. All of these things that we do for Shabbos, they're for the sake of giving kavod to Shabbos. And he also says, that the purpose of Hadlakas Neiros is to have, you know, this higher level of oneg literally means pleasure. We'll talk about what that means. But to have the pleasure and kavod of Shabbos. And it seems that part of the theme, especially in many of the Rishonim and Acharonim, is that the kavod that we're giving Shabbos with Hadlakas Neiros is to light up the house, to light the Shabbos table. You're supposed to get hana'ah from the candles, meaning you're supposed to be in a place. It's very important if you're going away for a meal Friday night. It's a basic halacha question. Where do you light? That's a classic question. I can delve into that right now. But the idea is that you want to get enjoyment from the light. It's supposed to create this concept of shalom bayis, of bringing the serenity, the wholeness, the harmony, the beauty of Hadlakas Neiros into your home. And, you know, when you light candles, you're bringing that into your home. And there's obviously a deeper layer here as well, because many, many, many of the makaros, halachic makaros, and machshava makaros, they talk about another angle of Hadlakas Neiros, which is that it's a kapara for chavasin. Now, this is a whole sugya which we are not going to fully delve into right now, because it really would require a complete shiur and so on in terms of understanding what this sin was, what the nature of the sin, why Adam and chavasin, why specifically it's referred to as chavasin, even though, you know, she, so to speak, began the process, even though they did both eat from the Eitz HaDa'as, Chava started the process, so she gets credit in a certain regard for it. But the questions like this, how is Hadlakas Neiros a kapara for Chava sin? So this is a topic which we have spoken about before. We're not going to give a full shiur in it right now, because we have given it. Basically, if you go back to shiur we give by Chanukah and the Or HaGanuz, it's a profound, profound topic, and it delves into the nature of the universe before and after Adam HaRishon sinned. Chazal talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu had this this light, this special light, or haganus. It's brought down in many midrashim. Rashi brings it down in a certain sense, doesn't fully delve into it in his Perush and Chumash, but he talks about this light that the Kadosh Baruch Hu has for tzaddikim and for rishayim, and this light Chazal referred to as or haganus, the hidden light. The Kadosh Baruch Hu hid it after Adam and Chava sinned. And the way that the deeper Balei Machshava talk about this light is that the way we see the world is through physical sight. So you see things, you know, you're here, I'm there, this table's here, the chair's over there. You see physical phenomena. It's a world of two-ness, of finite, physical, corporeal reality. And yet the Or HaGanuz is a way of seeing things as they are. It's peering past the surface, it's seeing. For example, to give you an analogy, you cannot see my thoughts. You can't see what's going on inside of me. There is a literal wall between the invisible things within me that are not concrete and visible and that which is seen. So imagine there being, instead of a wall, imagine there being a window. In the same way that when you see a light bulb, you don't really see the surface of the light bulb, you see light. You look very closely, you see a shell. That's the way the Adam HaRishon's guf used to be. You looked at Adam HaRishon, you saw him. You saw something angelic, luminescent. When you look closely, you see the guf, the skin. All of reality was luminescent like that, meaning that you saw things as they are. You saw the inner ikkar, the inner essence, the inner content, and the surface didn't hide it, and it revealed it. The Or HaGanuz was a way of seeing, a way of sight, a way of, I mean, light reveals, right? Torah, the root of Torah is Or, because Torah reveals the truth of reality. Well, the root of Or HaGanuz, what it actually did is allowed you to see with a higher level of perception, a higher level of clarity, of spiritual clarity. And post-Adam HaRishon sin, post-Chava sin, we lost that light. Now we only see physical things. Now we, you know, the whole world fell. It's a whole sugi which really requires a lot of analysis and opening up. But the one key point is that we lost this light. We lost this light. And Adam HaRishon and Chava, they ate from the Eitz HaDaas on Friday. And what the tikkun became for losing the Or HaGanuz is light, bringing light back into the world. Now, it sounds like a very fluffy concept, and without the intellectual background, it is. But it's a very profound concept because, essentially, Shabbos, Hadlakos Neres of Shabbos, is where we tap into bringing the Or HaGanuz. That's really what the kapara for Chava sin is, that women bring that light back into the world. And it's not just on Friday, if you think about it. Hadlakas Neres of Chanukah, Chazal, basically so many of the Rishonim and Acharonim, especially the Balei Machshava, talk about how the menorah of Chanukah brings back the Or HaGanuz, brings back that light. Is the shiur we gave, a full shiur. If you want to really delve deeper into the HaGanuz, you should definitely listen to that shiur. Wherever you're listening to this, it's available probably on the same platform, if not other platforms as well. And when it comes to Chanukah, it's the same concept. In the same way that, you know, women were responsible for bringing the kapara for Chava's sin, that's the deep theme of women are always responsible for the gula. That's why the women in Mitzrayim, you know, they were encouraged and inspired their husbands to be kind of the mitzvah peruvu. When it comes to the mirrors, when it comes to Purim, it's Esther. Obviously, when it comes to Chanukah, we have Yehudis. In all of the Chagim, women are, you know, like behind the scenes and not behind the scenes, bringing that geula, bringing that tikkun, really, so to speak, the current, they create this reverberation that really brings that full tikkun in terms of what was broken. And when women light Hadlakas Neres Friday night, they are being metaken Chava's sin, so to speak. They're bringing that light back. And it's a taste of Or HaGanuz. And that light at the Shabbos table, what's shalom by? Shalom is oneness. Shalom isn't when two people aren't fighting. It's the presence of integration, synthesis, harmony. It's taking disparate pieces, bringing it into something where you create something that transcends the sum of its parts. And that is true oneness, that's true harmony, that's true light. I mean, white light, when it's refracted through a prism, it gets into, and it basically breaks down to the shards and different spectrum of the light, of the spectrum of light. But when it's in its absolute oneness, there's no colors because it's oneness. There's no pieces, there's no parts. So the idea of Shabbos is really bringing that oneness. That's why Shabbos is all about oneness. It's Gemara Brachos after Nizayis Shabbos says Me'in Olam Haba. Why? Because Shabbos is a taste of absolute oneness. Neshama Yisira is when you don't get another neshama. You're able. It's almost like you get more access to your neshama. You're more able to integrate and synthesize the physical and spiritual, the infinite and finite, the ethereal and corporeal. You're able to live a higher life in this world. That's why we engage in so many physical things on Shabbos, Tashmish Hamita, and sleeping and food and drink, because we are living a higher life in this world. And the idea is that when women are lighting candles, they are actually bringing that light, recreating the organos, bringing that light into the home, and it really joins into the answer of what Kavod HaShabbos is. Meaning, what's the Kavod that we're doing? What's the Shalom HaBayis? The Shalom HaBayis is the kapara for Shabbos, and it actually isn't too different. It's not, here's the halacha. The halacha is Kavod Shabbos, bringing Shalom HaBayis, and the machshava is bringing Mechaper Shabbos. No, the machshava is deepening what the Kavod Shabbos is, what the Shalom HaBayis is. By bringing light into the home, by giving Kavod to Shabbos and recognizing what Shabbos is, by bringing that light into the bayis, you're creating Shalom HaBayis, which is the kapara for Shabbos, and which is creating oneness out of tunis, which is fixing that which was broken. And that's why, you know, on the surface level, the Rambam is saying that the mitzvah of Chalukah Seder is covered Shabbos and Shalom Bayis, but the deeper level is, what's the essence of that mitzvah? It's to create something so much more transcendent than you would think at a surface level. So now let's delve into some of the more halachic and perhaps lumdus questions when it comes to the how to approach this mitzvah. And we're going to be mekayim some of the more abstract notions of Talmud Torah when we delve into, you know, the stages of every process of a mitzvah, how to analyze it, how to approach it, how to understand what's happening when, the significance of the action, the significance of the intention, significance of the result. And that really gets at the question of, what is the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros? Is the mitzvah to light the candles, or is the mitzvah for there to be light in the home, for there to be lit candles? Is it that the result? Meaning, on Shabbos, we need to have a lit candle. Like, you do the act because you need to, you know, have that candle, but the emphasis and the chalos, so to speak, where the actual mitzvah is being mekayim, is being fulfilled, is in having it, because it's all about enjoying it on Shabbos. It's all about Shalom HaBayis, right? It's not about the act of lighting, because if you lit the candle and it goes out, you don't have the Shalom HaBayis, you don't have light in your house. Or you can say, no, it's all about the act. Right, you need to actively light the candle. It's the Maisa mitzvah is Hadlakas Neiros, as light, meaning literally Hadlakas Neiros, lighting candles. And obviously, you also want to have it afterwards. Now, is it one or the other, or is it both? Do you have to light the candle and have it? Meaning, are there two stages where, number one, you want to actively create the light, and number two, you want to enjoy the light on Shabbos? So that could basically be something very interesting, where what if you have one without the other, right? What if you light the candles, but then you're not there for Friday night because you go to someone else for a meal, so you don't enjoy the light? Or what if you didn't light the candle, you found the candles already lit for some reason, or someone else lit the candles for you, who, let's argue, or let's suggest, they weren't chayiv in the mitzvah, let's say non-Jew, they light the candles for you because you weren't there, or you're running back from somewhere. I'll give you another very interesting case. Let's say you had no mitzvah for Hadlakas Neiros before Shabbos, because let's say between the time where, let's say you got married on a Friday, and let's say by the time you got home, by the time you're going to actually get home, you're not going to be able to light the candles in time for Shabbos. So you have someone else light it for you, and then all of a sudden you have to light candles, but you didn't light them. Can you still fulfill the mitzvah by having the light in your home? Would you make a bracha on that? That's a very interesting question to think about. So it's one of those things where if the mitzvah is to have the candle lit, then maybe in such a case, when there's no candle, if it's all about the result, maybe there's only a mitzvah to light the candle when there's no lit candle. But if you have a lit candle, then there's no mitzvah to light it. The mitzvah is to have the light, so you are mekayim the mitzvah just by having it. It's one of those things where You have to break down the mitzvah. Is the mitzvah to light it? Is the mitzvah to have it lit? Is the mitzvah only to light it if you don't have one lit? Or is it really, really only about having it lit? Or is it really about just lighting it? Or is it about, you know, both, and you can't create a distinction between the two? So let's delve into a fascinating steer in the Rambam that actually might open this up. So in one place, the Rambam seems to say, if you look at in the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos, Hey Aleph, he says that the mitzvah is Shezebechlal Oneg Shabbos. He uses the lashon of Oneg Shabbos, enjoying Shabbos, you know, the pleasure of Shabbos. And in another place, in Hilchos Shabbos, in a different place where he mentions it, he uses a very different lashon. He uses the lashon of Kavod Shabbos. And the question that you immediately think about when you think of the Rambam, who is extremely particular in every single choice of word, every single word choice is very, very important and significant, then why did he change the lashon of Oneg to Kavod? And what's the context of each? So it's one of those things where I actually, when I first was going through this sugya myself, I had this question and came up with a great answer. And the answer is so great that I actually later saw it in the Grach, in Rav Chaim al Rambam. And it opens up the Rambam and really is a beautiful teretz to this very interesting problem, where he basically explains, as I was mechabe, that there are two aspects of the mitzvah of Likos Neiros according to the Rambam. One is kavod. And kavod, the context of what the Rambam is talking about kavod is talking about doing it before Shabbos. And kavod is always an external recognition of something, meaning it's not when you are there, it's when you are from a distance. You give respect and honor and kavod to someone who is greater than you, someone who is, you know, distant from you to an extent, but it's always an outside perspective. So when you're giving kavod to Shabbos, you're not experiencing Shabbos, you are perceiving what Shabbos is from the outside. It's before Shabbos starts. So giving kavod to Shabbos is about preparation for Shabbos, about what you buy for Shabbos, what you do for Shabbos, getting dressed, cutting your hair, cutting your nails, getting washed, wearing nice clothes. It's leading up to Shabbos. Oneg, pleasure, is the experience itself. Oneg Shabbos is all the enjoyment you get on Shabbos itself. And when the Rambam uses the lashon of kavod and oneg when it comes to Hadlakos Neiros, he's actually tying into these two different aspects of Hadlakos Neiros, because lighting the act Hadlakos Neiros, you light before Shabbos, right? That's not Oneg Shabbos, because Oneg Shabbos is enjoying the light on Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos is the act of lighting, and the Rambam's talking about preparing for Shabbos. That's where he uses the lashon of the language of Kavod Shabbos. And so when you light the candles before Shabbos, you're preparing for Shabbos, you're creating the circumstance in which you will enjoy the light, it will create Shalom Bayis, you will enjoy the light afterwards, but this is happening before Shabbos. But once you've already lit the candles, on Shabbos, you experience the oneg. And according to this pshat, you can't make a distinction between the act of lighting and having it lit, because they're two different components of the mitzvah. One is the act of lighting, that's Kavod Shabbos. The other is enjoying that light, which is the result, that's oneg Shabbos. And you're going to ask me a question, what if you only have one? Right? So you can either say that you're only mekayim one aspect. So if you only lit it, you're only doing kavod. If you only enjoy it, you're only doing oneg. Or you can argue that the only way to fulfill either of them is to have both of them. Meaning, true oneg Shabbos requires the kavod Shabbos as well. Because only when you built it, when you lit it, when you activated it, can you truly say that you are enjoying it. Could either say that that's a qualitatively increased level of oneg Shabbos, or that without it, there's no oneg Shabbos. You can argue both ways. And when it comes to the opposite, let's say you only have the oneg without the kavod, that's not true kavod Shabbos, right? So it's one of those things where, yeah, and you can say without, meaning, when one's lacking the other, you can say that you're just lacking a piece, or you're saying you're lacking the entire thing completely, right? So if you only lit it, that you can say that there's obviously no oneg, maybe that's not really kavod. And if you only enjoyed it, you can say, oh, that's really just oneg. Or you can say, maybe that's not even oneg, because I didn't activate, make it my own. So back to some of the nafkamins we had before. We had some questions with, what if you already have a lit candle and you didn't light it? So that would be Oneg Shabbos, right? But is that really Oneg Shabbos? And are you Mekayim the Mitzvah? So If you think that all we care about is Onuk Shabbos, all we care about is the result, then you can enjoy it, you can use it. But if we say that, no, you need the halakha, you need the act, either because you need kavod, or you need kavod for Onuk's sake, or that's the fundamental component of the mitzvah, then you'd actually need to blow it out and relight it, especially if these are your only candles. And that's actually what Rabbeinu Tam, if you look in Tosos and Shabbos, Chaf Hei Mabez, he says, V'od Nir L'Rabbeinu Tam, she im haya haner mudlak v'omeid shetzarech lichvos v'lachzer l'hadlik. You have to actually blow it out and relight it, because the mitzvah can only be fulfilled when you light the candle. Now, these are some also classic questions when it comes to brachos. When it comes to making brachos, right? Do you make a bracha on the halakas neiros? Of course. Now, halakas neiros is mistam, it's a brachas mitzvah, right? Well, a brachas mitzvah, you usually, it's a classic debate, does a brachas mitzvah require an action? Right? Does there need to be a maisa mitzvah? So if you say that every brachas mitzvah requires an action, so then you're obviously going to need a hadlaka. You're going to need to light the candle in order to make the bracha. If you say not every brachas mitzvah requires an action, we can go through all the different mitzvahs to determine there are some which are questionable, whether there is a maisa mitzvah or not a maisa mitzvah. But if you say that every brachas mitzvah requires a maisa, then you're going to have a maisa here, you're going to have a hadlaka. If you say that not every brachas mitzvah requires an action, it's possible to say that even if the candle is already lit, you can actually make a bracha on it, and we can say that the ikur is about the result. The ikur, the essence, is about the oneg, not the kavod. And that's definitely a possibility. But now the question becomes, does the mitzvah of halakas negros require a bracha? Right? So that's a very, very interesting thing, where you'd say that, of course, you make a bracha when you light, but let's say you didn't light, would you make a bracha on just enjoying the light? So that would get back to the fundamental question of whether a bracha requires an action, right? If the whole mitzvah is about the act of lighting, then you would need an act, right? And you would basically say that the act requires a bracha. But, I mean, the questions are kind of twofold, meaning, does a brachas mitzvah require an action? Does a halakas neiros require a bracha? And if there was no action about a halakas neiros, and you can still fulfill the mitzvah through oneg, would you make a bracha on just the oneg, or would the halakas neiros only be on the actual halakha? And you'd assume that it obviously would have to be on the halakha, because the actual lashon is halakas neiros. So these are, you know, very interesting questions to think about. And there, as the case that I mentioned earlier, there's an interesting discussion in some of the Achronim, where we have this case where a woman got married right before Shabbos, and she didn't have a chiyuv of hadlakas neiros before she got married, and all of a sudden she's married, she has a chiyuv of hadlakas neiros, but she wasn't able to light before Shabbos, right? So there's a couple options. Maybe she can light before the wedding and then make a bracha after the chuppah. So that's one option. Another option is maybe she can have a guy light it for her, and then she'll recite the bracha after the wedding, even though it'll be on Shabbos, so she won't do the hadlaka, she'll do the bracha on the result, on the oneg, so to speak, not the kavod. She's not going to be doing the maisa mitzvah of halakas neiros of preparing and actually doing the action of lighting, which is the action before Shabbos, but she will get the result on Shabbos. So can she do this? So the Magen Avraham quotes the Maharal, who says that she can do, you know, this kind of, you know, getting around it. And Magen Avraham says no. He says that the act is the mitzvah. You have to light the candle, and that is the only way that you can make a bracha, is that if you do the act. And the Magen Avraham actually then says, but bidyaved, if you forgot to make a bracha when you lit, then you can make a bracha afterwards. So even if the bracha is not being made with the actual act, you could do after. So there's a couple options for what he's referring to by this bidyaved. One is that you can always make a bracha bidyaved even if you didn't light the candles. Meaning what? Meaning if a guy lit it for you, or if someone else lit it for you, you find a candle lit, you can make a bracha. Why? Because of the oneg Shabbos, the result, the fact that you're still going to enjoy the light. But the other option is that no. He's saying only in the case of this, if you look at his actual lashon, he's saying when you lit it. So you can be medayik and say when anyone lit it. He's not really referring to it. Or you can be extra medayik and say no. He's always saying only if you were the one who lit it. Why? So maybe it's when you did the act of preparing and lighting, you were mekayim the kavod aspect, the preparatory aspect, but also you did the maisa of the halakha, you lit the candle, the bracha can be an extension of that, as in there's one long process. Now, why is that? So there's a couple possibilities. Number one is that maybe the bracha can be done on the oneg as long as you did the mice, as long as you did the kavod. The other is that maybe he's referring to where you didn't wait that long of a time, so there's not that much of a hafsek, not that much of a break. It's also possible that because in this case, there's so many extended stages of this process where you have the preparatory stage, then the act of lighting, and then the fact that there's the process of enjoying it, that it's not like you do a maisa mitzvah and it's done. The process continues. And because you're still in the midst of the mitzvah, it's one elongated process. We don't consider it as if there was a maisa, a long break, and then a bracha. We consider it as if the bracha is still in the maisa because the maisa is extended. There's another aspect when it comes to candles. That's a whole famous sugya in Shas when it comes to Mishum Chitzav of Nezikin, where when you light the candle, you know, that single act causes the candle to light and it continues lighting. So maybe it's as if you're continuously, meaning, how do we view that continuous flame? Do we view it as if you did one act of lighting and that's done? Now it lights by itself, or do we consider it as if you did the act of lighting and everything that's happening now is an extension of your maisa? It's an extension of your lighting it up. So therefore, it's continuously lighting from your initial action the whole time, and it's almost like you're constantly lighting the candle. And if you think of it like that, then you can view the Magen Avraham as basically saying that you're constantly engaged in the maisa of lighting, and therefore it's not ideal. Ideally, you should make the bracha at the very beginning, you know, beforehand. But when it comes to a case where you forgot or whatever it was, then b'di'evid, you can still make the bracha at a later point. Okay, so now this is there are a couple other questions going through before we wrap this up. But one of the questions is, do you need to enjoy or benefit the light on Shabbos night? So there are different approaches. According to some, if you think that the chiyuv of hadlakas neiros is literally a technical chiyuv, or it's all about kavod Shabbos, you don't need to enjoy it afterwards. You make the bracha, right? You light the candles and you're done. We're not going to talk. I mean, everyone, you know, I wouldn't say everyone, but a lot of people know why you cover the eyes, because there's a whole problem of being mekayim Shabbos and then doing melacha after Shabbos. So therefore, you do, you know, the whole process in terms of the way women close their eyes, but the question is, what if the mitzvah is about the result, and therefore, if it's about the result of bringing light into the home and creating shalom bayis, then you would need to enjoy and benefit the light after you lit. And a big problem becomes, what if you're going out for a Shabbos meal, right? What if you're going out? So there are different approaches where basically, if you're going out for a Shabbos meal, you should either, I mean, the way that many hold is that you light it where you're going to sleep, and you should try to stick around and get some hana from where you are, where you're lighting. Meaning, even if you're not going to be there for the whole meal, it does become a little problematic, and there are different approaches in terms of how to do it. But in terms of needing to enjoy the Shabbos candles, there are different shittos. For example, the Maharam says that if you accepted Shabbos early, you can eat outside even if you don't end up benefiting from the candles. And one approach to why he says this is because he basically could be saying that the only purpose of the mitzvah Hadlakas Neiros, according to the Maharam, is an act of Hadlakas Neiros. It's Kavod Shabbos. It's not about Shalom Bayis, it's not about enjoying, it's not about Oneg Shabbos. And that's definitely one approach. The Maharil says that you need to get benefit. So he says that if you don't get any benefit from the candles of the bracha, then it's a bracha levatala, right? And once again, he could be saying that the whole mitzvah is about enjoying the light, about oneg, or he can say that no, once again, it's about kavod and oneg, but either the oneg is lacking or the oneg is lacking, which makes the kavod lacking, or they're two separate aspects of the mitzvah, I mean two separate components, or they're two separate mitzvahs, or that, you know, it's one of those things where qualitatively and quantitatively you're lacking from the central mitzvah when you're not getting the oneg, even if you'd be mekayim some aspect of the mitzvah through kavod, through the act of lighting. Once again, you basically want to break it up, right? Meaning, is oneg and kavod two different mitzvahs, two components of one mitzvah, two stages, or something in between? And when you're missing one, what does that do to the other? How does it affect the mitzvah? Okay, so now just some other small little side topics before we go into something really interesting. In terms of the question of when you're allowed to light candles. So there are a couple options, right? One is that you can do any time before Shabbos, literally any time on Friday. And if it's all about the result, if we just want to have light when it comes to your Shabbos meal, it doesn't matter when you light it, right? And if also it's a dimbi mechaper for chavasin, we just want oneg Shabbos, we want to bring shalom bayis, it doesn't matter when you light it. Another approach, which we're going to see is pretty prevalent in the Rishonim, is that you want to light right before Shabbos, because if it's about kavod Shabbos, if it's about showing that you're preparing for Shabbos, we want you to do it right before Shabbos to declare, I am doing this for Shabbos. If you're doing it just Friday morning while you're doing a bunch of other things, it's not clear that the ma'aseh of the act is specifically for Shabbos. And if part of the kapara for chavasin is not only oneg Shabbos, but also kavod Shabbos, then we want to be making sure that we are doing kavod Shabbos in the best possible way. So, and by the way, even if it's about the result, even if it's about having the oneg Shabbos, having the light, the shalom bayis on Shabbos, just from a practical perspective, if you do it too early, maybe the flame will go out and you won't get your oneg Shabbos. And also fundamentally, when you light it, it still should be clear that it's for Shabbos. Meaning, the Oneg Shabbos is different when the lighting is done specifically for Shabbos, which gets back to the way we framed it, that the Kavod and Oneg are not two different things. They're very much connected, very much related, two sides of a coin, where one does affect the other very much so. And there are definitely Makoros in this Makor and Shabbos stuff, Daf Chaf Gimel on the base, which says very explicitly you should not light Hadlakas Neros too early, you shouldn't light candles too early. And Rashi actually says there that the reason why specifically is we want to make sure that it's recognizable that the reason you're lighting is strictly L'Kavod Shabbos, strictly for the sake of giving Kavod to Shabbos. And Tosos actually builds off of this and says, because we just want to make sure that it's recognizable as for Shabbos, it's not about how early, it's just about how close to Shabbos it is. So if you're accepting Shabbos right afterwards, then you can light early. It's just a question of making sure that you're lighting for the sake of Shabbos. And there's obviously, this happens all the time, where you have a question where, what if a woman lights early, and then she realizes she forgot to do something? She needs to turn something off, or turn something on, or take care of something, cook something, whatever it was, what's she supposed to do? So, you know, basically, the you know, most hold that she can't do anything, she already accepted Shabbos. And by the way, there's obviously many hold that when it comes to Hadlakas Neros, the woman accepts Shabbos upon herself, but not for her husband. So the man in the house does not have to bring on Shabbos at the same time. Not everyone holds that, but most people do. There are some shittas, for example, Shulchan Aruch Harav says that she, even if she lit candles, she can get someone else in the house to accept Shabbos immediately, and she can do the malacha, meaning she doesn't need to be the one to be accepting Shabbos. That's not so pashut, especially because she was the one who lit. So it's definitely something to be ma'ayan in, something to think about. The last topic to really, really think about, because this is fascinating, is who's chayiv in the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros. So we think of it that, of course, the woman is the one who's chayiv, the woman is the one who lights, right? But if you look at the Rishonim, that's not the way they formulate it. Because, first of all, if it's just to light up the house and create shalom bayis, there's no reason it should be the woman versus the men. Of course, it should be both. Right? If it's a kapara for chavas sin, and that's the reason for lighting up the house and creating shalom bayis, it would make more sense that it was a woman. Of course, if you really think about it, Adam sinned from the Eitzadas as well. And Adam should also be, you know, being mechaper for the sin. It's not only chava. And even if chava was the starting point, Adam's still with Mestarif, he's still part of that story, he's still part of that sin, and he should also still be part of the process of being Metakin and being Mechaper that sin. So who is Chayiv in the mitzvah? So if you look at the Rambam says that they are both Chayiv, but there's a greater Chayiv on the woman, right? And the lashon he uses is because she creates the avira in the home. She is, so to speak, you know, the Shabbos Malka. She is the one who creates the avira of Shalom Bayis. And it's not that it's her responsibility. It's that that's her koach. That's her ability to do so. And the Shulchan Aruch goes so far as to say that they have the same chiv for Hadlakas Neiros. So now we can go back and say, first of all, if men are also chayiv, then why do women always light the candles, right? So one option is it's just practical. I mean, it's lav dafka woman. Men can do it too. Women do it. The Rambam says that this is the woman's... Women get the preference, meaning it's their... They have the right to do it. They have a higher level chayiv to do as well. And there's different ways of understanding that. One is that this is their terrain, meaning they have more of a right to do it. The other is that they have more of a koach and ability to do it, as in women have a greater koach of creating the atmosphere in Shalom Bayis that we mentioned. Again, in terms of being mechaper, the sin of Chava and Adam, you can say that Adam and Chava both have an aspect of being mechaper, but Chava was the foundation of that story in terms of the starting point, and therefore women have accepted or have the responsibility of sharing the greater responsibility of creating that kapara, being metakin, creating shalom bayis and oneness within the home. And there are different ways of approaching this, and it's important to think about it and think about, you know, what role the man does end up having when it comes to the lakas neiros, because he does have a role. And we have to think that if, like the Shulchan Aruch, they both have a chiyuv, then why aren't men doing it? I mean, what happens to their chiyuv? Just at the end of the day, they have a chiyuv. Who's being mekayim the men's chiyuv of Hadlakas Neiros? And according to the Rambam, even if women have a greater chiyuv, still, who's being mekayim the men's chiyuv? So if you think that the chiyuv is all about the result, not about the act, it's all about the oneg Shabbos, then once it doesn't matter who's lighting it, once there's light in the home, they both are Mekayim, though, in Shabbos. So if you think that it's all about the result, then it doesn't matter who's actually lighting it, the man and the woman are both experiencing the result of the light. If you think it's all about the act of lighting, then you can say a couple things. You can say either, once again, there's a shared chiv, and one of them is representing both of them in doing the act, and they're both mekayim the act together, ishto kagufo. You can kind of say that they are partners, it's through shlichos, through whatever mechanism of having a joint partnership in a single maisa, which happens so many times in the halachic process, where you have one act that's being mekayim. For example, you have a bal kore, you have, you know, someone doing something for the tzibur, and it represents in mekayim the chiyuv of many people. So the woman is, so to speak, representing their bias and their family, and the shared responsibility, and it's mekayim the act on behalf of both of them. If you think no, each really has their own chiyuv, and once again, even if it's not a shared chiv, I mean, once again, you can conceptualize in two ways. You can say there are two chivim, right? One for the men, one for the women, and one person's being mekayim for both of them. Or you can say, no, there's one chiv on the home, and one of them is representing both of them in being mekayim the chiv on the home. So it's not the woman's chiv or the men's chiv, it's as a bayit ne'eman b'Yisrael, as a home, as a couple, as a married partnership, you have this responsibility, and one of you is going to take care of the responsibility. But if you really think that each has their own chiv, it's man has a chiv and the woman has a chiv, and you say, no, it's not that the woman's going to be mekayim the chiv of both of them through whatever mechanism of shlichos or whatever it is, but that, no, really each should be lighting it, then we can think of the fascinating minhag in Klai Yisrael of the man to light the candles, to blow it out, and then for the woman to light the candles. So there's different approaches. One is just like being nice, is, you know, basically preparing it for her and making it easier for her. Not that it's really easier nowadays, but it used to be that when you light it originally, you made it easier to relight it. So that could be part of it, is that, you know, it's just helping the woman, it's nothing to do with being ma'amakai mechiv. The second aspect, second approach, is that it might actually be him taking part in the mitzvah. Once again, she has the major aspect of being mekayim the mitzvah, but he is taking part in it. As the Rambam would say, she has the main chiyuv, but now the husband's taking part of it. There is, of course, a beautiful idea that actually really deepens the husband lighting the candle beforehand, blowing it out, and then the woman lighting it again. And it's based on an idea that is so profound and so fundamental in Torah thought. The Maharal, the Ramchal, the Ramban talk about this principle all the time. And it's about the three stages of every process. Well, I've mentioned this countless times in countless year. And the idea is that every process starts with a flash of inspiration. You lose it, and you don't know why you lost it. And you have to struggle and rebuild it yourself. So we find this time and time again in our personal experience. We find it in the Torah. We find it in countless sugyas in Torah. It's why Adam HaRishon and the Chava were originally built as one being, and then they were torn apart, and they have to rebuild that oneness. Why build them as one if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to then create them as separate? Right, Rashi says they're originally created as one in dragon as being one literally, they were attached at the back, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them apart. The answer is that the ideal is shown. The ideal is that marriage is oneness. You are one unified being. Two individuals, but shared and combined into a unity, into a unison. And then you're torn apart because that was an ideal that was just given as a gift. And you have to rebuild that oneness through effort, through work, through choice. That's why we learn Kol Torah Kulu in the womb. We learn, as the Vilna Gaon explains, not just Torah, we learn our unique purpose, the purpose of the world, who we're supposed to become. But then we lose that, the malchitzas on the mouth, we forget it. Why? Because our job was to come into this world and to build it ourselves. What was given in the womb was a gift, but we have to earn it. That's why all processes in life, you start a relationship, it's so enjoyable, then after a little while it starts to get a little boring and you start to say, yeah, is it really worth it? But what you were given in the beginning is a gift for what the relationship could be, but that's unearned. Then you have to actually build that. When it comes to foods, you start eating or drinking something and it's so delicious, and after a little bit you kind of just like get bored of it because you lose sensitivity of how to really choose to heighten your awareness and really enjoy it the way that it was in the beginning. Everything starts off inspiring, starts off fresh, starts off like a flash of inspiration. You lose it, that's the second stage, and you have to rebuild it yourself. Right? But the first stage was to show you what you could, should, and must become. The ideal form of marriage, the ideal in terms of who you're supposed to become. And it's true of everything in life. Kadosh Baruch Hu will constantly give us flashes of inspiration, show us what we should, could, and must become, but then we'll lose that inspiration and we think, oh, what's the point? But the reason you lose the inspiration is because you were shown what you have to do, and you lose the inspiration so now you can actually build it yourself, earn it yourself, choose it yourself. And that's a little bit of a drush in terms of the man lighting the candle, flash, kind of like starting the process and then blows it out. And then the woman takes that inspiration, takes that flash, takes that beginning that was created, and then builds it. That's kind of the idea of creation. You know, it kind of all fell apart, right? After Chava sin, after Adam sin, the world, as the Ramban explains, death came to the world. We used to be immortal. Our body would never deteriorate. We were on a much higher spiritual, existential level. After the Chet of Adam and the Chet of Chava, you know, we became mortal. And there's so much depth into the transition of post-Adam Rishon sin and the Chet HaEgel, right before the Chet HaEgel, by Ma'an Torah, we went back to that state. The Chet HaEgel brought us right back down to that same post-Adam Rishon, post-Chava, post their sin state of being, where we basically, you know, fell to the stage that we are now, where we're basically mortal beings who are limited intellectually, spiritually, emotionally, existentially. We are finite beings. We all are going to die, but it's about recognizing that the stage that we are in, the loss of that ideal, is for us to rebuild it. And that, number one, as the Ramchal, Rav Kook, many others explain, there is no such thing as death. Just stages of existence, and that when you die, you simply continue as you are into the next stage of reality, and you are you, and it's a never-ending process of growth and choice and becoming the greatest version of yourself. But the idea here, in terms of just bringing a little depth into the husband lighting the candle and extinguishing it, and then the woman relighting it, it's that same idea, that little spark, that little flash of inspiration, that little light bulb moment, and it You lose it, you rebuild it. And you rebuild it, and that's true Shalom Bayis. Because Shalom Bayis, you want to create a great home, there are always going to be flashes of inspiration. But consistency, having true Shalom, that's a battle. And so, you know, the irony is that to create true Shalom, that's a battle. Because true Shalom, you have to fight for it. You have to fight for it tooth and nail, day and night. It has to be something you actually choose, something you create, something you want at the very root of your being. And nothing great in life comes easy. So what we talked about today is we opened up some of the deeper aspects of Hadlakos Neros. We opened up some of the halachic aspects, some of the lamdusha aspects, some of the machshava aspects. And it's one of those things where you start to open up Torah and realize how incredible Torah wisdom is and how it's literally the greatest light, the greatest wisdom, the greatest mechanism of not only, you know, entering into the inner chachman, inner wisdom of life, but the tools, principles, and ideas of truly living a life of truth. And we should all be inspired to, number one, realize the expansive nature of Hadlakos Neros, how every mitzvah opens up into everything else in life. It's just one of those incredible things. But if you thought that Hadlakos Neros was just something you do, now you realize it's something incredibly deep. If you were a man and you thought Hadlakos Neros has nothing to do with you, now you realize it has something to do with you. If you're a woman and you thought this is just another responsibility I have, now you start to realize that with responsibility comes opportunity, and that you are given the opportunity of creating the most incredible bias of Shalom and depth and warmth and openness and connection. And if you're the husband listening to this, then you realize that it's your responsibility too. And that it's one of those things where when you are living a life of passion and purpose and thriving and striving and trying to create a Shalom, a true Shalom-oriented life, and Shalom, higher Shalom, where it's not, I don't want to have fights with people, but I want to create true synergy and connection, and I want to, you know, build extraordinary relationships of openness and depth and clarity, and I want to give myself to people in a deep way, a genuine way. I want to become a great version of myself, feed my mind and soul, learn Torah, become Torah, and then express that into the relationships that I have. That's how you create not only a bias of Shalom, but a life of Shalom. And that's how you create true interconnectivity, true oneness. And what you build within yourself expands into your house, into your intimate relationships. And what you build within your family and your intimate relationships expands into your friendships and your other relationships in your life. And that's how you literally build your network of life. So it starts with you. And the greatest way to build Shalom within yourself is to start actualizing all aspects of yourself, spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, physically, financially. And when you're living your best self, when you're thriving and striving and growing and stretching and pushing, then everything else in your life is affected by it. And that's how you really create the greatest home. And if you want to have great, great kids, start becoming a great, great person, because living by example is the greatest tool for all external impact. It starts with you. Once it starts with you, it's one of those things you can't control other people, you can only control yourself. So never work on fixing other people, work on inspiring other people by being the greatest version of yourself. So I hope that this brought some depth and some thought-provoking questions, and that you use the ideas, principles, sources, and halachas, and machshava, and iyun, and all the aspects of halachos and iyun that we delved into in this year. Use it to continue learning, continue thinking, apply to other aspects of Torah that you are working on, and deepen one aspect of your life will deepen another aspect of your life. We should continue learning, continue growing. Have the most incredible day, and this Shabbos, may the halachos and iyun in your home bring true Shalom Bayis.